Hello, hello, hello.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Hiya. Hi, Robert.
How are you?
I am well.
You're not. You're fucking on edge. I see I'm sitting a little bit further away from you. You're very cranky.
I'm fierce cranky. I am like a briar, right? Because I'll tell you why.
Red Raw with Rob and Laura.
I have three things I need to get off my chest straight away. The first is it's my time of the month, right? Oh. So I am. I could feel it coming on during the week.
Loads of questions for you here.
Have
now.
You? Yeah. Oh, God. I could feel it coming on during the week, and I was like, I'm irritated. And why am I irritated? But I didn't know until it came. And then I was like, okay, this is what's going on. But still fuming, right? And these are the other two things I want to say. Somebody who shall remain nameless, a lovely person, actually, always a lovely person, but they said that we should talk about more serious topics on the on the podcast.
Okay.
And not always be having the crack.
We talk about fair serious topics.
Yeah. And sorry now, Rob. This has gotten my goat. Right. Will I tell you why? Oh, my God. You're going to have a big slug of coffee. Oh, my. Very silent. Yeah. Very silent. Thank you.
Better.
Thank you. Much better. Evolve. He's usually a bit slurpy. But you know what really galls me, right? Because the person went on to make suggestions and they were like, why don't you talk about like wellness? Why don't you talk about mental health? Blah, blah, blah. Robert, what has gone wrong with the world? There are people who are making money out of keeping people miserable, right? There is obviously well-intentioned people in the world as well, right? But there are people that are like, you need wellness, you need self-care, you need this. But all of that is for them to make money and for you to feel bad about yourself. There are a million podcasts. Sorry, I'm going to rant now for a second. Let it flow. There are a million podcasts about mental health and well-being and taking care and all of that. And I am not diminishing them, but I'm saying there are plenty of them. We are not skilled in that area. Like, I can only talk about my own
I have a good stab of it. No, really. Go on.
But
go
so
on.
Would I. But I'm not going to sit here and like pretend that I have some mental health trauma in order to kind of boost my own profile. I'm not going to do that. And there are those that do that. Let's be honest about it. There are people that are making a living off of keeping you sad.
Yeah.
And I am not going to engage in that. And why is there not a more emphasis? Like, this person was like, you don't have to have a laugh all the time. But we could have a laugh like most of the time.
Would
the world not be a better place if people were actually like more focused on having crack and fun and peace rather than drilling down into misery all the time? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do. I do. Because I wake up every morning. Right? The problem with my day. I had a Chinese last night.
Okay.
And I had two glasses of wine.
Okay.
Got a bottle of wine across the road and I had two glasses and I put the bottle into the cupboard.
Okay.
Felt very mature.
Okay. It was such a grown up.
It was a very grown up thing to do. And I said it to Marion, I'm going putting that into the cupboard now. And I'll have that tonight.
Lovely.
And I had a Chinese and I had a fucking worst night's sleep, Laura. But the Chinese were lovely at the time.
Yeah.
I take the hit, like. But I woke up this morning, right? I was awake all night. I got a really bad night's sleep. And then my Garmin watch can judge what goes on. You're giving me a look.
I'm
now,
judging
right?
you.
I know
Garmin
you're judging
watch
me.
Now. Go on.
But it's really accurate. It is. And I woke up this morning with my body battery out of 100 was 48. What if I had to bed into that now? If I had to get up out of bed and it's the first thing I looked at. What's my body battery?
Body battery, my arse.
No, honestly, it is good.
Is
honestly,
it?
It is.
Don't you point your hand at me.
Don't you point your hand at me. You can be getting antsy with me because it's your time of the month. my point is, what if I had to bid into that? No.
Yeah.
It's like, just shut up, Rob. You don't have a mental health issue. It was lovely last night.
Yeah.
A lovely couple of glasses of wine. Chinese was lovely. It was fucking lovely. I actually ended up, I ate it with a spoon, which was weird as well. A big spoon, why? Like,
is that you?
All of the forks were in the dishwasher.
What do you mean a big spoon, like a ladle?
Like, no. but if I went to someone and I woke up this morning and if I like Opus Dei chastised myself for having a few glasses of wine, eating Chinese, all of the bad things, getting bad. Sure, I could fucking bed into loads of misery. Sometimes you need, shut up.
And like,
shut up.
Obviously, we're not saying shut up to people with a genuine mental health condition. But completely, you could bed into anything. But as well, I think that there is an inclination in the world to veer towards like sadness and stress and strain. And like, to be honest, like my biggest problem this morning is that I'm irate, but I know why I'm irate.
But you know why.
I know why. And I know it'll pass.
I have a few questions about that as well.
You can come back to that. So, but I just think it's like people try to kind of pigeonhole you as well. You're doing a podcast. Why don't you do a podcast about misery? I won't. Yeah. I won't. Because I have nothing to offer the world of misery. There are enough people doing it. There are enough people giving talks and doing wellness retreats and all of that. And that is fine if that's what you're into. But you will not catch me and Robert doing a wellness retreat. Though, to be honest, I think it would be a laugh. A crack retreat. Now, the second thing that happened yesterday.
I would like to set up walking groups with you in them.
Oh, but you know
what
I'd love
to do? Change
the
whole narrative of people who think that they're going through midlife crisis thinking they're professional athletes, but just exercising and having a bit of fun. I'd change the whole competitive mindset around.
Do you, I've often had the thought that if I developed a playlist, right, of like 20 songs and I met a load of people down at the bottom of the hill in Tivoli, right, and we all press play at the same time, so we've all our earphones in, but we all press play on the playlist at the same time, so we're all listening to the same songs,
okay,
and then we just dance around Cork.
Like
but like dance run.
Silent disco.
Yeah? Does that exist already?
There's a silent disco, yeah.
No, I know a silent disco, but this is like a walking disco.
I'm looking at my phone here now, I got a message on that point, right? And okay. It's just come to my
other
head
thing
now,
that annoyed
come
me.
Back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got a message off a woman last night.
Okay.
So many messages knowing after losing.
Oh, he's inundated with messages. By the way, speaking of inundated with messages, our inbox is absolutely hopping on the emails. redrawpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Loads.
Got some lovely emails.
Lovely emails.
People have literally taken the four paragraph thing as gospel from you.
Yeah, and sometimes they only get thanks back.
Yeah.
They don't get no four paragraphs back. Go on.
But this woman sent me a message last night. And as you know, they go into my requests. I have so many requests and I
can't
get back
check
everyone.
His requests.
I check them.
Yeah.
But I could sense she was genuinely distressed that she fell off the exercise train. I'm really down. I feel bad in myself.
Oh.
And big, long message. And I was looking at it. And because I've been there myself, like I always say, I'm only 3 days away from feeling depressed.
Okay.
And just the time that we've just gone through. And I'd make a joke about it. Like I said, our Lord was down for 3 days. I said, you have to get up and get going. So that's what...
After a playtime, he rose again.
He rose again. So if I don't get out and run or walk or exercise for 3 days, my mood does start going down.
Yeah.
So your one wrote me the message. And she was obviously after going deeper into that hole.
Okay.
And then she says, what can I do? What can I do to get started? And I wrote back a couple of lines. He goes, just start again, girl. He goes, 10 minutes out the door, 10 minutes back, you're done.
Mm.
She doesn't have a mental health issue. There's nothing wrong with her. She feels bad. And then she's been, like, go back to the Chinese and the wine. She's chastising herself then for not being in her routine and and fucking hell. And it's so, sometimes things are so simple. And you know, she came back. She goes, I've never thought of it like that before. Thanks so much. Just go 10 minutes. Like, you could fit in exercise into your day every day. You could go, I know you hate going from the door, but worst case scenario, go out the door, go to the end of the hill and back up. Mind your own business and the rest of the day is your own.
Mm-hmm.
Get your thought. And that poor woman, just something simple like that. But if she went to somebody and you bedded into all of them emotions, you could make a big, huge thing out of nothing.
And as well, you see, I think we're programmed as well. I've spoken about this before, that we're programmed to think that the Chinese and wine is terrible. Oh, you've fallen off the wagon, blah, blah, blah. What about if you looked at your week and you instead treasured that moment where you decided, I'm going to have a cozy night now.
Yeah,
I'm going to have
my
little bit of Chinese. I'm going to eat it with a spoon because I'm just going to embrace the fact that I'm a massive weirdo. But I'm going to have my wine. And what about if instead of like berating yourself for that, that you were like, that was a little moment that I carved out for myself where I was cozy and happy.
Mm.
And then I will get up the next day and I will do my run or I'll do my walk. And that instead of picking out that, like I'm very very guilty of looking at my week and going, oh, that was bad there now. Or like yesterday, I had the guilt because I had the baby in the car and he was asleep and the other two were gone into the house. And like, I could have lifted the baby out of the car and just hung out with the other two, but I took the moment for a bit of peace because my head was wrecked. Mm. And instead of enjoying that moment in the car where the baby's asleep, I spent the whole time going, I should be inside with them. Yeah. This is terrible now. They're inside in their own watching the telly. Oh my God.
But I think, Laura, like, and I've seen this, like when somebody is very successful and they have a platform, and I've seen it, like I've seen it with some athletes, I've been away with some athletes who've become world champions, and I've seen them doing corporate talks and speaking about themselves in the third person and how strong they were, how organised they were, how structured they were, how they delivered in all of their KPIs. And
what's a KPI?
Key performance indicator. Okay. I can chat that lingo all day long. I could break down my year as an athlete and be genuine about it. Like when I was then at my best, like I fucking never missed anything. Like I trained so hard. You don't want to put somebody down indirectly, but this person in particular, I remember him doing the talk and I was like, I was so strong. I knew I was going to win. I was like going, I remember being on camps with you when you were younger and you fucking having full breakdowns. Mm-hmm. Like completely over. And nothing wrong with that. Because some of the pressures on camps, like in my world in athletics, like my head's gone off now again. Like some of the pressures that people are under. I remember one day, I was out in Fontremont before the World Championships in Edmonton one year. And the Polish team, very different to the Irish setup, they would be continually assessed all year.
Okay.
And their performance, back to KPIs if you want to go corporate talk, and if they weren't performing in training or if they weren't they wouldn't be sent to a championship. Whereas in Ireland, you get a qualification standard last year and you're going to be sent to the Olympics this year in Paris with no accountability. Oh. And I'm coaching athletes now with zero accountability from high performance looking in on their trajectory throughout the year.
Yeah.
So I would be away with the Poles, and I remember one year 22, 23, fucking so competitive now, pure raw from Cork, like, and the boys were doing 40k. I came down, I was doing 25k the same day. Sure, we had no coach with the Irish team. We piggybacked off the Polish. And I came along, and Majar was your man's name, Roman Majarczyk. His full name's now in Polish.
Okay. His full name's in all languages. This fella could put a full name out of any country.
Majar says to me, he goes, Robbie, what? And I hate being called Robbie. Don't ever call me Robbie. Okay. Robbie, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing 25k with you, mate. Relax. But you have not organised this with coach. So the whole Polish team were doing it. So they could have had five fellas qualified and only three went to the Worlds.
Okay.
So we got into a bit of an argument, like, I says, Majar, I says, I'm doing fucking 25k, which he just shut up. And Jamie Costin was with me. Jamie was very mature. Like, he was great on the camps, actually, because he was nearly the glue.
Okay.
Sometimes, because he was a lot more mature than me. I says, Majar, I'm telling you no, boy. I says, shut your motor, I'm going to smash this rock off your head. But he was never going to do it. It was just...
My God,
it was just... We were gone off. So he went away, did the session, and afterwards, he was under massive pressure at the time. So that was real pressure. And the session went well. He went to the Worlds and did really well at the World Championships. We had a few drinks afterwards. Actually, we got on swimmingly.
Yeah.
So my point is, like, if you bed in, there's so much information online now about stuff. You can go with any narrative about mental health sometimes.
But you know what? You know the fella that gave the talk and was like, I was so strong, I was so this, and you said he had basically breakdowns on the camp. Are the breakdowns not more interesting?
They are. But
Tell us about them.
So then breakdowns, back to you see my brain be connecting stuff. I forget what they're connecting.
He's like, join the dots. He's like a circuit.
But isn't that like what makes us human, overcoming it? Like, you could give me a scenario in your life when you were really vulnerable.
Oh my God.
Come on.
Right now, when you ask me that question. A scenario where
you're rock solid. I think you're rock solid, like. But I want to know now when you were really vulnerable.
But you
when
see.
When you felt really insecure about something and you had to overcome it.
But you see, I think I'm vulnerable every single day, but that I hide it quite well.
Do you know what
I mean? Like, I think this thing that we have discussed about my heart being available to everybody, my, like, you know, wanting to embrace everyone and include them in my world, I think that makes me really vulnerable. That I am constantly, I'm like, like regularly hurt frequently, and poor Shane has to deal with that almost weekly, that I'm hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas publicly people might not see that, because by the time I kind of regain my composure I'm able to be badass about it publicly.
Yeah.
But Shane sees that nighttime Laura, that's like, I'm hurt now again. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's hard for you being a comedian, because you, I said that when we started working in radio, you weren't a real person.
I know, yeah, I know.
You know, you
but
weren't
this,
real.
Sorry, no, but you...
And Marion even said it to me. She said, you'll never get to see the real Laura. She's going to be in character
always
all
in
the
facade.
Time.
But actually, I don't think... But I think that's probably not correct. Like, I'd say you saw the real me fairly early on.
Oh, no, I did.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
did, but it's a generalisation. Like.
But it's like, this is actually neatly brings me back to the second thing that really pissed me
Come
off
on,
yesterday.
Come on, no,
right?
I want to hear your...
Right? I'm going to tell you, the thing that really pissed me off yesterday was somebody told me to breathe, right? So I've just, like, been about my business. I'm just about my day. And they said, you're all head up now, breathe. Now, I'm telling you, Rob, right? This is what pisses me off about the world. And it's like what you've said there. So somebody did a talk and they were all corporate and they were all kind of content driven and all of that, right? And that is what is held up as the way to be, right? That is bollocks, okay? So yesterday I was kind of in a flap and I was all biz. I wasn't stressed. I was just my normal, effusive, excited, happy self. And this person tells me, breathe now, right? And I'm like, why? To make myself calm, to make myself presentable, to make you feel more at ease that I'm not like kind of busy being around you. Why are we living in a world where you need to be that kind of settled, calm woman or man? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's my, it is my life's goal to show. It is my, you always pull these things out of me. You always pull these things out of me, girl. But it is my, like, I don't understand why we don't live in a world where you can be chaos. You can be chaotic. You can be wild. You can be loud. You can take up your space loudly in the world. Why does somebody need to come in and say to me, kind of calm down? I fucking won't calm
down. Was it online or?
No, it was just in general. It was in person. But it was like, it really got to me, because I was
like, they're fucking in control.
Yeah, it's like,
control.
It's like I'm happy about my day, and then bang, it's to cut my happiness. And people, that's what I mean about being vulnerable all the time. People regularly try to cut the legs out from under me, because they're like, what's she so happy about? Like, she's in her late 30s, she's got 3 kids, she's got a mortgage, she's got a family, but she's still managing to be kind of happy. And in this day and age, it's
so
like, that's not allowed.
Do you fight against that then?
How do you mean?
Like, would you rebel against it? And
oh, I'd be louder.
More heightened version yourself in again.
Of course. Yeah. Because I'm like, don't you dare. Like, my whole life, my people have clung on to me. They come to me, first of all, because they're like, she's great, I love her. And then once they're in, they're taking swipes at me to try and, a bit like, you know, in Father Ted with the car, when they're chipping away at the car. They're trying to take little bits of me, almost like reconfigure me then in the way that they want me to be. And I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
This is how I am. And I don't have to fit into your little neat content box. I don't have to fit into your neat, like, I'm a lovely, calm woman who's never going to swear.
But some
who's like, it was the same. When I had Freddie, and the public health nurse came here, lovely lady, not talking directly about her, and I ran up the stairs ahead of her. I walked up the stairs ahead of her, right? After a section, bits of placenta dripping down my leg. But I went, and she says, you'd want to calm down there now, you took those stairs very fast. And I felt like saying to her, you don't live here. You don't know how fast I take the stairs. That might be slow for me.
See you doing the somersaults out the back on the decking.
But I'm like, that might be slow for me.
Yeah.
Don't you come in. There, the amount of people in my life that try to make me what they want me to be, because they're afraid of the real me, because they know the real me will fuck them up and destroy them. So they try to shove me into a box then, and then when I'm not in the box, they're kind of like, would you ever calm down? And I'm like, I won't calm down. But that's what's wrong with the world, is there's too many people the same, all manufactured boring bastards all the same. And it's like, I'm not going to ever be that, and the world needs to push over and make space for real people. Do you look at me with that exhausted face?
Do you think...
Oh no, you're asking me loads of questions.
Do you think it's because if other people are on their own journey, to present in a way they want to be seen by the public. They could be your own Jew or anybody else, and if you're not acting in that way, they might want to be like that, but they can't, and you might be called out on it. Does that, do you know what I mean?
Like,
show them up.
They're trying to stop me being like that because they're afraid of their real selves.
Yeah.
So yeah, they, like, I do.
Have I worded that properly?
Yeah, I want the world to see, I think the difference is I want the world to see the real me, whereas I think most people want the world to see the version of themselves that they want to present. I have no interest in presenting any version of myself other than the real who I actually am. Do you know what I mean? Like, even on Instagram, I am like myself most of the time, unless I had to do like content-y shite for the radio, right? But it's like, I think people are petrified of showing warts and all, do you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why, like, even when I had Freddie, I was so conscious. Like, I was bawling, crying here at home for no reason, just hormones, like, just like, I love him so much, he's got such a beautiful little head, look at his tiny head. Like, or I remember when I had Polly, I was like, it's so sad that I won't get to be around for her whole life. Oh, right, just because that's what your hormones do to you,
right.
But then I'd be looking online and you see ones that have had babies and stuff, and they're like, hey guys, how are you? I'm just after going for a run there and I've batch cooked for the week, and that's shit, that's bollocks.
Yeah, you're lying,
you're telling me lies. You may have batch cooked for like one day or something, but you're also crying. I know you're crying. I know you're crying because the hormones are coursing through your veins. I know that you're fucked, but you are presenting to the world that you're not, and I think that that is damaging. So I constantly want to present the real facts, so that if some poor creature is watching me at home with their newborn baby with milk and cabbage leaves and blood and guts and gawk all around cabbage leaves, get rid of the milk, you know that. Horrific. I was like a cabbage inside the bed. Wouldn't you think they'd come up with a tablet for that? Like, I didn't want to breastfeed, so you have to put cabbage leaves down your boobs. I was walking around like cabbage soup, the smell off me, and they'd go all like shriveled and warm by the end of the day. Slap Shane across the face with them. But like, if somebody is watching that online, that's reality. I don't want people to feel bad about themselves. I want people to feel good about
themselves.
Have
a bit of reality about it, yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Have I been vulnerable there? Not really. But I am vulnerable all the time in my head. All the time.
I think the danger is, though, like, people can present as being rock solid. And I'd always, like, find in chatting to kids in schools, and you'd ask them, like, if you're doing, like, with the bank, like, doing a CV and interview skills workshop, and it's like, you know, what weaknesses do you have at the moment? And somebody, I don't have any weaknesses. I say every single person in this room is a weakness, including me, including the teachers. So they're always looking to get better. But
I'm trying to think. Well, my weaknesses are, I care deeply what people think about me, which I hate. I am easily upset by what people think about me. I'm trying to think. I have horrific mom guilt, horrific, all the time. Just feel like, oh no, you might be making me upset. Oh God, that's the period now. It's the period. It's fine. We're fine.
Yes.
Damn it. Like, oh, you're such a little shit. Sorry, excuse me. I just need to regain my composure. No, like, as in, I just can feel fucking really awful that the three kids aren't getting enough of my attention, or they're getting a cranky version of me, and so like that eats away at me the whole time.
That's,
do you know what I mean?
Enough.
It's normal, but nobody, but this is the thing, Rob, nobody says it, so they're all like, oh yeah, we're great, and we went to Leahy's and we went to Fitzgerald's Park and we did this and then we had hot chocolate and it was all lovely. And like, that could also be true, but tell me about the bits where you were cross, or tell me about the bits where there was like, you know, the kids were screeching and you had sensory overload and you went into the toilet and hid in the toilet for 10 minutes. Like, tell me, just tell me the real bits, so that you're, so that the world is so full of fakeness.
But I think you, because I can relate with that completely as well. Like, the girls are off on Easter holidays there for a few weeks, and I was on holidays as well. And some days, like, I didn't want to do anything. And then you'd get a burst for a couple of hours and you'd want to go to the cinema, swimming, go fucking everything, everything in an hour. Let's go. And who's it for? And sure, they were grand, like.
And, like, I think the kids need days where they're just, like, sitting under their blankets as well. But even, like, when you come up here on a Friday, I'm like, we say during the Easter holidays, I was like, oh God, the telly's on now. He's going to think the telly's on the whole time. And I like, I better put down, I put down some toys now so it looks like they're playing. But that constant thing of like who's it for? Like, as in, if my kids are happy sitting down watching telly under their blankies while we do a podcast, what's wrong with that? They're so happy. Alfie hates to leave. Alfie's like, I love being in the house. I love being cozy Jane. And I'm like, oh, cheekers, like Rob's kids are always running and jumping.
But the fact that
I nearly shove them out the front while you'd be coming. Do a cartwheel there now at the front when Rob comes now.
But you do stuff for them, like, and I do stuff.
Of course.
But I think it's being aware of feeling like that is what makes you a good parent. It's the parents who, like, who don't give some. They don't give a shit or give a people who don't care about anything.
It's back to being thick, Rob. Wouldn't we be great if we were thick? Wouldn't we be great? But I had to ring my mum the other day because there was Polly was inclined to be telling tiny lies, just tiny lies, nothing big. I had to give out to her. I had to speak to her about it and be like, now, Paul, you only ever tell the truth and blah, blah, blah. But I had to give out to her so much that she got upset. So then I was like, oh, good. So I rang my mum and just was like, I've made her upset. And mum was just like, but Laura, that you had to parent her. It can't all be, you know, squishmallows and bubbles. Like, it has to be, you have to make them palatable for the future.
Yeah.
And so I had to, like, I felt like, fuck it, I have to almost break her spirit to be able for her to rebuild.
Sense of reality.
But I was so conscious, it was like the day after her birthday, and in my head then I was like, oh, her first day being 9, she'll remember now that her mom made her cry. But she won't. Of course she won't. But it'll be me that'll remember it. But I had to say it to my mom.
I remember my mum saying to me on my 12th birthday that I was only looking for attention.
Oh, you can remember no.
I remember sitting on the chair.
You had
looking
your
for attention.
What were you doing to get attention?
I just felt that I needed more attention on my birthday, and my birthdays have been ruined since.
But to be fair, Rob, I mean, you really, know, nobody was giving you
sure
a lift
I was up
anywhere.
Here, sure, the kids had a ball.
But nobody was giving you a lift anywhere. You no, did deserve more attention on your 12th birthday.
Sure, I didn't get the attention. Sure, I was up here for Polly's birthday. It was unreal.
She had a great time.
It was brilliant.
But you could have done with more intention on like a Tuesday at 6 o'clock, when, like, you were running around the streets of Cork. But no, like, as in, I said to Mam then, I said, when you were parenting me, we'll say at that age, I said, I felt like you were so self-assured and that whatever you said, you had the full courage of your convictions about it. I said, did you ever have any sort of doubts? And she was like, of course I did. Right, but I said, but you never showed them. And she was like, well, I wasn't going to show them. Like, she said, you know, like, as in, she'd have felt bad if I had cried and she'd have had felt bits of mom guilt and all that. But I think it was different then because, like, you know, Mam wasn't aware of other people's parenting because there wasn't social media. Whereas, like, I'm acutely aware of loads of people's parenting. I'm also not stupid. I know that certain people only put up certain things. But, like, I think you could get very overwhelmed. Like, you really, sometimes you just have to put your blinkers on, put your head down and just be like, what I'm doing is correct for my babies. And fuck everyone else and drown out all the noise a bit. But it was good to chat to Mam because it was like, I felt like I needed her to parent me because I had just parented my little girl, and I was like, have I done it right? Because I don't know. It's my first, like, sometimes I think Polly is my, like, first experience of being a mom.
Yeah.
So everything
she's
that,
still only 9.
And everything that comes up with her is a first. Because, like, by the time it gets, if Alfie starts telling lies, I'll know how to deal with it. No, she's not telling big lies. But she just, she's inclined to double down on something that I know to not be true. Do you know what I mean? So, and I don't want her to do that. And, like, in years to come, this is what happens to me. The panic of, like, what if she lies to me about a way a fella treated her or something? Do you know what I mean? That's where my head goes. Does your head go there? No.
Oh, yeah, because you want them to be open and you want them to trust you. Mm. And I find, like, and even with Cahill and Megan, being at the other end, you know, I think whatever type of parent you are, if you're consistent and you're there,
yeah,
that shines through at the end because they can read you, like.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I'm
and everybody's different styles then, like, you know, but just to have, it's the consistency, I think, the consistency of your messaging to them throughout
your
whole childhood, that it doesn't flop and change. And I suppose, going back to that fella at the start, imagine growing up in an alcoholic house when the inconsistency
Who's the fella at the stand?
Who was going on that we should chat about more serious topics?
Yeah.
We started off all of this ranting.
Hey guys, we've done a mental health podcast by accident.
Yeah, but you know, like, imagine being in a household like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give advice, but it's...
Where it's up and down, like, all the time, you don't
know. So imagine the emotions that the kids would have. You become more craftier, you'd know it in the kids' eyes. There's a load of other stuff going on. You could see it in the kids' eyes who have secure homes, I think.
But you see, I'd be very conscious that my kids have a secure home.
No, they do.
But I would also be conscious that I can be up and down. Like, I can be...
But you're consistent. I'm not about, like, people, if they're drinking or taking drugs or anything, it's a completely volatile environment.
Yeah, well,
like, it's normal. We're all up and down, Laura.
You see,
we're all up and down. Jesus Christ.
Like, I could get very rowdy. Like, as in, what's okay today might be infuriating tomorrow. And I think, is that not a very unstable feeling for a child? It's like, you know, like, Polly brought all her teddies down to the sitting room yesterday. And for some reason yesterday, I was just like, they need to go back upstairs. Because I'm overloaded. It's too warm. There's too many tents. There's no space for us to sit down. But today, they're down again and I'm fine with it. Like, is that not a bit uppy downy? I know it's not alcoholism now. It's just like, where can I put my life stuff? Squishmallows are at fault here.
Yeah, but it's like... Small problems.
They're all small problems. But you see, they're massive to me then because I just want to be like a brilliant mam. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like talking about being a mom. Stop smirking at me while I feel sad. Like, oh.
But you are a good mom.
I know. And if anyone fucking told me, I wasn't a good mom, I'd hate them because I know I am.
But you see, I think anybody with anything, when they care about anything, they're always looking at areas where they feel they could be better. And they want to be better. And that's with anything at all. It's the fuckers who don't care.
I want to be thick. I long to be thick. You know? And to just be like, hey guys, you know what we're doing today? I swear to God, the other day I decided to bring them to Airtastic, right? Jesus Christ, Rob. There's something happens in that place. Because... Look, Airtastic are never going to sponsor this show. I was like, we'll just go in and they'll jump for an hour. Fine, right? And that's all it was. It was just a bit of jumping, right? Yeah. And then we went to the arcade, obviously, right? Because you can't get away
with the
arcade. Yeah, I think it's in the arcade. Suddenly I can see, I look at Alfie
Funderland.
And I'm like, I haven't done Funderland yet. It's on the list, but I hate it.
Oh, so I don't know. They're awful. I don't know. I think they're awful places. The kids love them.
Well, Alfie, I could see Alfie in the arcade and I could see like his gambling future. I was like, I've got to get this child out of the arcade quick. He's like, I'll just have one more go. On the claw machine. And I'm like, the fucking claw machine.
It's rigged.
Not necessarily in Airtastic, but in general, they're rigged.
Yeah.
But I was like, when we came out then, like, I thought we'd gotten away relatively unscathed. We had done an hour of jumping. I had not jumped. I was minding Freddie. We had done an hour of jumping and we had done like maybe 30 minutes of the arcade, right? So I was like, okay, that's fine. That won't have that much of an impact. They were demented. They were demented for the whole rest of the day. I was like, I thought that they'd tire them out. It didn't. It amped them up. Oh my God. And I was like, we're never going to Airtastic again. This is just where hell is. And like the poor creature who's like clearly a transition year student going, okay guys, now we're going to do the safety video. Like, she hates her life. All the parents around her, just they've got this look in their face of like, we're going to jump, everything's going to be fine. Like, I swear to God, in the car on the way home, when we got home here, they're fighting, they're picking at each other, they're up to 90. In my head, I'm like, Alfie has a gambling problem. Like, and I'm like, I'm going to have to be really careful with him when he gets older. He gets so obsessive. Then Polly is upside down for some reason because she's still kind of jumping in her head. And I'm just overwhelmed. And literally all I wanted to do was to do something nice with them in the holidays. And did it end up being nice? No, it ended up creating hours of hell.
But they're normal feelings. Do you know what I mean? No. I've had these with the girls and with the tickets and kind of go, Tara's an addict.
The tickets or when she gets sick, now.
When she wants Calpol all the time, it's like it's fucking in her veins.
Same.
It's in her blood. It's same as ex-family member or whatever. She's fucked. We're going to have an awful life for her now.
Same. I'm like, oh no, she's having the Calpol and the Norofen. She needs the boat.
To be an addict.
Oh my God, she's going to be on the Oxy in a couple of years' time. But the ticket thing has changed now. The ticket thing is worse. You don't get the big string of tickets now anymore. You get a top-up card and they go on to your card. And Alfie's like, check how many tickets we have. And then you tap the thing, 446 tickets. Okay, great. What can we get? And I'm like, why do they still want stuff? stuff. It was literally Polly's birthday the day before. Polly got a load of presents. Alfie got presents for Polly's birthday. And now I'm suddenly in Airtastic with a load of tickets buying shit. Buying shit. Yeah, and now we're in the car and they're fighting over the shit. And now we're at home and I'm hiding in the toilet. And when it, but I think you can feel very lonely in that, because when you're on your own, and the world is showing you, hey guys, I'm after buying these amazing bibs.
But is it back to that? So like whether it's mental health stuff or how to live, or how to, they're all little hooks, they're all little buy-ins for people to get in, whether it's the tickets in the arcade.
Oh, totally.
Or, we're so advanced now with social media. There's no what's real and what's not real anymore.
We're overwhelmed with stuff.
With information. Like, there's so much information out there.
The room is bright and there's people jumping, there's people screeching, and you're the world wants you to be overwhelmed. So then you go looking for the mental health help, or you go to the self-care guru and you buy the candles and the bath bombs and fuck it.
It's back to me telling that woman on Instagram, just start. Start again tomorrow. Go 10 minutes out the road, 10 minutes back. Do what you can. Don't be putting your massive pressure on yourself. Build it into your life. And it's not fucking rocket science. Like, people will figure things out themselves.
But also, you see, Rob, you won't make any money from that. Like, you have to bear in mind, and it's the same with diets and everything, there is somebody gaining from you feeling bad.
I know.
And I don't even think some of them realise it. I think some of them are like just happily giving you their products or whatever, but actually they're brainwashed into this notion of like, do you know this concept of self-care, right? Like, self-care used to just be called going to have a bath. Do you know what I mean? It was the people making Radox were making money out of you there for a while. Do you know what I mean?
But now
it's like a ritual of self-care, and you need to have an eye mask and a thing to hold your hair
girls
back.
Are
and
all obsessed with skincare. Like,
yeah.
They have the vanity desks, the mirrors, all of the creams, fucking boots. Every time we're in Mahon Point, straight to boots. I've had it with the club. Like, I get absolutely nothing for the club. None of us do, all of the people involved.
Cork City AC.
But I love it, Laura. Like, I love seeing the kids progress. And I've had people come up who would be corporate-y, and it would blow their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of work. Like I'm the chairman there. There's so much work with it, but it's so fulfilling. Like,
yeah.
And I could be putting my money into doing all of the other corporate stuff, and I'd have all of the lingo, I'd have all of the success to back it up. But it's empty. Do you know what I mean?
You'd hate yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to do stuff that you love, and you can't be worried about other people. And do you know what? You have to drive on with what's right for you as well.
It is back to this thing of like comparison being the thief of joy. I know people say that all the time, but like, as in, you could end up. Sometimes you have to drown out the noise. Like, for me, I have to just go, my kids are happy and safe and loved. Mm. They know how much I love them. So it doesn't fucking matter who is, you know, doing whatever, like photo shoots on Instagram, or who, like, you know, even when I had Freddie, I'm like, oh, do I need to do one of them newborn kind of photo shoot things? No, I don't. Like, as in, you just have to.
But you can't believe. Sorry, no.
He's rejigging in the seat here. He's up to 90 all of it. I've gotten him worked up.
My sister works cleaning houses, right?
Yeah.
And I remember her telling us one time, really big influencer in Cork. She cleans her house. And she could come in and the house would be spotless, and the influencer would be up in the thing afterwards as if she did all of the work herself and she's not after doing anything. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so stuff like that. You have to be careful what people, the narrative they're trying to push on you. Is it for them or is it for you? You have to be very careful who you surround yourself with.
And also, there are people online, it's not necessarily that they're lying to you. Like, they're trying to carve out a living for themselves. Yeah. So they do present a certain way. And that's fine. But just have it in the back of your head that really all that matters. Like, sometimes I'm tempted to just turn my phone off. Now, I never would. But sometimes I am. To just come right back into real life and just be like, I'm here, I'm at home, my kids are healthy, Shane has had a sinus infection since January but is generally grand. He's going to get a fucking sinus rinse knocked over the head soon, but like, as in, you know, we're fine. There's nobody. Sometimes I think I have a feeling of like that there's people looking in and judging, like,
people
in real life
busy with their own lives.
Nobody gives a shit about you. That's actually my friend, she always says that. She's like, actually nobody gives a shit.
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, she, you say it in relation to like wearing a bikini on the beach, you'd be like, oh my god, I won't wear a bikini now because they'd be all looking at me. Nobody gives a shit. They're all dealing with their own sandy hole. They don't care. They don't care about what you're wearing. Nobody, everyone is so focused on their own patch actually that they don't care. So why would I care then about what, you know, people say to me? But I think people, I think I'm too, people say stuff to me because they know that they can hurt me. Do you know what I mean? And some people just stay silent, which is equally unhelpful, Rob.
But you're grand. You know, no, honestly, like.
Oh, well, I know I'm grand. Like, I'm not like, I don't have a mental health problem. But like, it's nice to know that. I just think there should be more people being themselves.
Yeah, but you gravitate into them people, like.
Yeah, true.
Eventually, you know.
Yeah.
And you siphle through the bullshit, like.
Oh, but there's an awful lot of bullshit you have to get through first.
Life is hard. So back to the point of that guy who was anti about mint. Like, if I could wake up every morning, I wake up, and I've said this before in the podcast, I wake up every morning is probably the most negative thoughts in my head. And if I had to bed into them straight away. And that was the one good thing with the radio. You had no time to think.
Yeah.
So you can rewire your brain you in can. Ways and how you react to stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
not when you've your period though, so fuck you.
Red Raw. Red Raw. With Rob and Laura.